Professor Botstein is a connoisseur of lesser-known composers, but when I ran one name by him, he drew a complete blank. I want to ask you about a composer named Gabriel von Weiditsch. I'm just wondering if you'd ever heard of him.
I have never heard of him. I have to confess, never heard of him.
Botstein isn't alone. Sally Herships has been trying to find anyone who's heard of Gabriel von Weiditsch. She started at the Metropolitan Opera in New York City.
What are you here this evening to see?
I'm here to see a Trittico. It's three operas by Puccini.
Are you a big opera fan?
I'm an opera freak.
Have you ever heard of Gabriel von Weiditsch?
Von Weiditsch? I don't believe I have.
Gabriel von Weiditsch? No. Who is that?
Gabriel
von Weiditsch.
No. Is she a modern singer?
He's a Hungarian composer.
Say the name. How do you spell the last name?
Von Weiditsch. V-O-N-W-A-D-I-T-C-H.
And he wrote opera?
Did he ever? Von Weiditsch wrote 14 operas. One of them is in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest opera ever, 8.5 hours. So, who is this guy?
For this story, we have to travel back in time. All the way back to 1985, we're at the Columbia University College radio station. Frank Oteri is a student there, and his job is to clean the station and to DJ. So he comes up with a strategy where he would put on the longest record he could find, so he'd have time to clean. And one day,
I chanced upon these LPs of an opera called The Caliph's Magician by Gabriel von Weiditsch. I'm like, oh, never heard of him. I'll put this on, and I think I'd give myself an education in the process. So I put that on. And I wasn't able to work at all. I was totally mesmerized by this music. This otherworldly, over-the-top, you know, relentlessly climactic music that just kept climax after climax, resolution after resolution, never really quite going anywhere, and constantly moving. It was very, very exciting music.
On the back of the album cover, Frank finds a number for the Gabriel von Weiditsch Music Foundation. He calls, and he finds out the foundation is really just this guy Walter, von Weiditsch's son, an accountant. Gabriel von Weiditsch died in 1969, and Walter is keeping his father's music alive. There really isn't a foundation. But Frank does manage to find out a few things about von Weiditsch, like he was originally from Budapest.
He was married. His wife ran a restaurant in the Bronx, a coffee shop. You know, he had this piano trio that played around town, but he never wrote music for it. It was like he had this secret life as a composer.
Von Weiditsch's wife supported them because behind closed doors, von Weiditsch was writing these operas, long operas. And they weren't just long. Von Weiditsch wanted 110 musicians in his orchestras, kind of problematic, and scene changes every couple of minutes, the sort of thing that wasn't really possible at the time. Also, all the operas were in Hungarian. And then there's this other thing.
A lot of the stories involve sex orgies and religious figures. Like the Jesus Before Herod opera is a bunch of orgies at Herod's palace. It's the Caliph's Magician is a bunch of orgies happening at a caliphate.
But he couldn't, I mean, all the operas he were writing couldn't have been this eccentric. He must have written some normal operas.
No, let's see. If I could go through the plots of all of them, I might have to refer to some of my notes. There are 14 of them. I mentioned Opium Dreams, which isn't about orgies. It's about a guy having a bunch of drug-induced hallucinations and ODing.
Not surprisingly, it was hard to get his operas produced. But in 1939, the Philadelphia La Scala put on Horus, his take on ancient Egyptian gods. It was the only performance of any of his operas in his lifetime, and it didn't go over so well.
There was no chance of them getting performed. Nobody expressed any interest. He was of a singular mind and obsession.
Fast forward 70 years, and it's Frank O'Terry who's on a mission. Von Wedich's son Walter passed away. There's a grandson in Queens, but he was happy to turn over the original scores to O'Terry. And so Frank O'Terry is Von Wedich's only living cheerleader. It's been a 25-year crusade, and now a major player in the opera world has taken an interest.
Orgies sell tickets, so bring them on. Jesus and Mary Magdalene wake up in bed, which were totally without foundation in biblical stories, but why not?
George Steele is the general manager of New York City Opera. He says there are other bad boys of music out there, and they're also called unstageable. Take George Antheil's opera, Transatlantic.
Has all of these same so-called flaws. It has a big orchestra, it's difficult to sing, it has incredibly rapid scene changes, and yet, of course, it's easy to do. There are 100 stories of interesting people toiling away in obscurity and weird places and writing operas for 1,000 banjos or whatever it is. All the music has to be is great, and this music is great.
If City Opera can scrape together the funding, they may do a reading or perform a small piece from one of von Wedich's operas.
Great music endures. You know, the promotional razzmatazz is something that not everybody's great at. But the good news is wonderful music will find a way.
At the 1939 performance, two critics showed up. One of them, Henry Pleasance, was the author of a book called The Agony of Modern Music. He said von Wedich stranded his singers on stage with nothing to sing and the certain knowledge that whatever they might sing would be lost in orchestral turmoil. And 70 years later, critics still aren't warming to him.
So are you a sourpuss critic?
Oh, golly, I sure hope I'm not. You know, all critics get that reputation after a while.
Philip Kennicott is the culture critic at The Washington Post. He reviews all kinds of opera.
It just seemed to me like the kind of writing that a composer who has a big, long text that he has to get set for an opera act writes when they're not really very inspired.
Ouch.
Yeah, I hate saying that. I mean, I'd be very happy if suddenly somebody is struck and wants to put on one of these operas.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome.
And that somebody is Frank O'Terry. He's still plugging away at his lonely struggle to get people to listen to von Wedich. The Brooklyn Museum put on a reading and multimedia performance of some of the composer's work, and Frank O'Terry ran the show.
Picture, if you would, a scene in a harem in the Middle East.
But there was no 110-piece orchestra, just one pianist in the recordings. Just like in the past, it wasn't what von Wedich wanted. In the meantime, Frank O'Terry is storing all of von Wedich's original scores under his desk at home. They're huge, 500-page books, and they've been in mothballs for years. Oh, I can smell that. Oh, my God.
What will happen if nothing happens?
Hopefully somebody else will carry the torch and keep it going. If it doesn't happen in my lifetime, that would be a real disappointment because I'd love to hear it. It would be a disappointment if all the music that I've written doesn't get done in my lifetime.
Do you ever worry that the operas might not be any good?
No. Nobody asked him to write these things. There were no commissions. There were no hopes of a production. Yet he wrote this music anyway. Not a good role model, the model of Gabriel von Wedich, but it is a role model that is about sticking to your guns, that is about pure inspiration, pure creativity for creativity's sake. So, you know, maybe 100 years will pass, maybe 200 years will pass. I like to think that it was put onto paper for a reason, that it will come alive at some point.
O'Terry is still a one-man fan club, so this could be it. Unless you're interested in becoming von Wedich's next torch holder. If that's the case, drop Frank O'Terry a line. For Studio 360, I'm Sally Herships.
You can hear more music by von Wedich at studio360.org. And while you're there, you can also subscribe to our podcast. It's free.